The Coast Guard has a busy weekend in Southeast waters, and Haynes recycles literally tons of scrap metal over 2 days. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Coast Guard suspended the search for a missing person after a boat sank Thursday night off the southern end of Baranoff Island. The missing person was part of a three-person group of high school friends on a 24-foot recreational vessel heading for a fishing and camping trip. According to Alaska State Troopers, the boat reportedly sank Thursday evening. When water swamped the boat, the three men, all wearing life jackets, climbed into a small raft. But waves soon tossed them out. Two of the men made it to a rock toward shore. From there, they watched the third man struggle in the water before being swept out of sight. The rising tide eventually forced the men from the rock, and they attempted to swim the remaining 100 yards to shore. Only one of the men made it. He was rescued the next morning by a fishing boat who noticed the man using a reflective fishing lure to signal for help. The Coast Guard, Canadian officials, and Good Samaritan boats searched for the missing two men. One of the men's bodies was retrieved Saturday. Two of the men were identified as residents of Montesano, Washington. The third man is from Sitka. The Coast Guard on Monday also medevaced an injured fisherman from a fishing vessel 92 miles southeast of Sitka. A Coast Guard Jayhawk crew safely hoisted a 21-year-old man, reportedly suffering from injuries to his hand and arm, from the 54-foot fishing vessel Jerry Lynn and transported him to Sitka. The fisherman had been injured while using a winch aboard the vessel, which is homeported in Heidelberg. The Haynes Friends of Recycling held its third organized scrap metal collection over the weekend, and Melissa Aronson estimates the group brought in nearly 50,000 pounds of scrap metal over 2 days. The Haynes Friends of Recycling site was sunny, hot, and dusty on Saturday as volunteers hammered, stomped, and crushed metal into manageable pieces of scrap. A crew in the parking lot was dismantling washing machines, bikes, ovens, and other large items. Ron Jackson was wielding a screwdriver on a tired washing machine destined for melting and repurposing.
The idea is to get it flat enough so they can be crushed in the baler over there. So there's lots of screws in these things. There's thousands of screws.
Then a crew inside the center was crushing the metal into compact bales that weighed about 500 pounds. Jesse Morgan was manning the crushing bale machine.
I'm smishing metal.
The bales were then taken to a large 40-foot trailer for shipping to Seattle Metal and Iron, where the pieces will be melted and recycled back into the metal market. Aronson estimates the weekend brought in 2 trailerfuls of bales and large items. Some discernible items could be seen packed into the bales, like an old hand mixer, grills, bed frames.
There's chairs, there's toaster, roofing, wire, shovels, probably a bicycle, if you look, and then you can see others that have the same kind of deal. There's a freezer full of tire rims, hot water heaters, mystery items. These are springs out of a car.
And the mix of household, industrial, and random items illustrates just how prevalent metal is in our lives, she says.
When you just look around in your house or in your yard or out in that alder patch in the back, it's amazing what we use from, this metal. And, of course, something needs to happen with it. So,
Aronson said most of the metal is ferrous or contains iron, but the collection also nets aluminum, copper, and brass that the group will send out as well. This is one of 2 special collection weekends the Haynes Friends of Recycling holds each year. A few weekends ago, the group collected more than 17,000 pounds of electronic waste, also sent to a company in Seattle for environmentally responsible recycling. The group charges to recycle electronic waste and collected a small fee for some of the scrap metal as well. But most of the effort is handled by volunteers, Aronson said. She also hopes the yearly collection effort will illustrate a point to the community, exactly how much recyclables and waste even a small community can create.
But the other is just to look at things and think about whether or not you really need it. And if you do need it, what's going to happen to it? How's it going to be recycled or what's going to happen? Because we really need to pay attention to that whole loop.
Ains Friends of Recycling collects, on average, 750 pounds of recyclables a day. And two men sustained minor injuries Friday morning when their shiny new vehicle drifted off the road and into the brush and trees on Small Tracks Road. Acting Haines Police Chief Simon Ford said it appears the driver nodded off while driving his brand new navy blue Chevy Camaro. Ford said alcohol was not a factor in the accident. He also said there were no skid or brake marks at the scene to indicate speed was a factor. Ford said it appears the driver simply fell asleep and drifted off the road. But the driver was contacted by police the night before for speeding in his new car. Police received a handful of calls about the vehicle speeding along Mud Bay Road Thursday evening. Ford said none of his officers caught the vehicle speeding, but one officer did talk with the driver and warn him they were receiving complaints. Ford said the vehicle was totaled in the crash. A massive project looking at the Gulf of Alaska brings together more than 40 scientists from 11 different agencies. The idea is to better understand the relationships between different species of fish and the natural world around them. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports on how that method of research signals a shift in the way we understand science.
If you're talking to one of the scientists working on this project, they're probably going to call it by its initials, which are pronounced GOAERP.
Which is a clumsy acronym, stands for Gulf of Alaska Integrated Ecosystem Research Program.
Olav Ormseth is a scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. He's standing aboard the Sea View, a Juneau-based fishing boat chartered for research cruises.
And so the whole idea is that instead of having individual scientists going out and, you know, doing their own projects, and then maybe at some point in the future trying to sort of figure out how things come together. The idea with this is that basically you bring everybody together and try to coordinate things from the get-go.
The team Ormseth works with is doing near-shore studies. They happen to be looking at inlets and bays around Sitka this week, but the project itself runs throughout the Gulf of Alaska. They're especially focused on the early stages of life for five species of fish.
You know, if we can get a better idea of what different factors affect their survival during their first year of life here in the inshore, then that's ultimately going to end up providing better information. You get a better model, and you can do a better job of managing the fisheries.
So remember now the title of the project. It's the Gulf of Alaska Integrated Ecosystem Research Program, and it's the word integrated that we want to focus on. It means scientists are looking at the bigger picture, instead of focusing on just one species, or one location, or one time period.
It's definitely not a brand new idea, but I would say there's definitely been increasing emphasis on it, and sort of increasing awareness of the fact that it's important.
Why?
Well, part of it is probably just evolution, you know, like as science progresses, and there's just more knowledge is accumulated, things just sort of tend to get better because there's more information.
It's also easier than ever for scientists to communicate with each other and compare and contrast their experiences. So Ormseth says that by using that communication and using the same methods to do research throughout the Gulf, this project will help paint a bigger picture than has ever been painted about what's going on off the shores of Alaska. And that, says Wyatt Fournier, could change everything about the way we manage fish.
Our goal is to eventually be able to have a ecosystem-based management. It's something that science and marine science has been pushing for a long time, but it's extremely difficult because of the resources required, because of the vast, vast area that is the Pacific Ocean and the Bering Sea, and because of the diversity and abundance of fish that we have out here and all the interactions that take place.
Fournier's role in the project is to organize logistics and research cruises. He says they're trying to build a foundation on which future scientists can better understand how to manage fisheries. Doing so could help maintain one of the world's most wild and sustainable sources of food. Fournier says it could also help people avoid repeating some of history's mistakes.
If you look at the way we fished the Atlantic Ocean, and we fished it pretty hard from the Europe side and the North American side, and you think about the Atlantic Ocean as actually a younger ocean than the Pacific Ocean, we really have a chance to really manage and observe the Pacific Ocean in such a way that we don't have fishery crashes.
Exactly what impact the project will have remains to be seen. It started in 2010, and it has a budget of around $17.6 million, mostly from the North Pacific Research Board. Scientists did a lot of field research in 2011, and they're doing more this year to note the changes. The project continues through 2014, but understanding what it all means could take longer. Back aboard the Seaview, tied up in Sitka, Olav Ormseth says interpreting the data will be a long process.
And I think, like, I kind of joke that, like, I'm going to be able to get half my career out of this project, you know. And it's, the reason I say that is that I think it's going to be years of, you know, everyone will be moving on to actively doing other research projects, but I think it's going to be a long time before we sort of have everything wrapped up. And
science, he says, generates many more questions than answers. But exploring those questions builds understanding. And Ormseth says the more understanding we have, the better decisions we make. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Ronco for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.